back there, please? Where'd your wife go?
She took wagon, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, it's much more beautiful since most of you weren't here last week. Everybody was squinting. Our light bulb was dying. And since I've been on a diet of late, part of our lesson, since we're in Luke chapter 12, talks about leaven of the Pharisees. You can imagine bread and leaven and stuff. I was having all sorts of challenges trying to just focus on the lesson. But anyway, let's open in a word of prayer, and we're going to get back into Luke chapter 12. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings and your goodness and your always thinking about what's best for us. Lord, we just ask, God, that we would calm our hearts, that we would be open to your leading. Lord, that when your Spirit calls, we would answer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate fatherhood. Lord, may we be the examples that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 11, review. The back end of Luke chapter 11 is rather interesting. Where are we? Context is everything. Where are we at the back of Luke chapter 11? We're at dinner. We were invited, Jesus and the disciples, assuming we're the disciples kind of coming along, we were invited to a dinner party. Now, if you're ever upset with somebody, what's one of the best ways to get things right? Food. It's hard to be upset with somebody when you're munching out of the same bowl. It just is a little tough. Okay? A Pharisee. Tell me what you know about Pharisees. Tell me what you know about Pharisees. Ah, so they were rule-based folks. In fact, they loved the law so much that they didn't want to violate it in any way. So they made decisions. They made decisions and wrote them down into oral traditions that if you don't do this, you won't violate that. We're good to go. Well, what happens when you get so many rules on the books? Ralph? You can't follow them. Or more than that, you lose the concept of the purpose behind why they were established in the first place. You just get into this rote construct. All right? Well, notice, remember what these are? Those leather straps around the left hand? They have a name. Starts with a P. P-H. Phylacteries. Now, okay, class. Dun, 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 dun. Dinner. Most of us think that they're sitting around a dinner table like us, but we're not. We're in a trilicum, more than likely. There are probably more than one, but a trilicum nonetheless. And we're doing what? We are reclining, actually laying down, munching. You don't eat near as much that way. Just for, and for me, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Okay? You wouldn't eat near as much. Ladies, where do you lay down to? No, you sit in chairs. What? Well, they're a nice chair, okay? No, okay? So Jesus, what's the first topic Jesus talks about? You're at dinner. What do you do before you eat dinner? Oh, you do? Every time you go to a restaurant before you eat dinner, you go back and you wash your hands in that dirty, nasty bathroom? You come over to a guest's house, the first thing you do is, I'm sorry, but I have dirty hands, so I got to go wash my hands before you eat dinner at somebody's house? Some people do, okay? But on a whole, this has nothing to do with personal hygiene and everything to do with formality and compliance. Obviously, you're a dirty, rotten sinner because you don't do what we say you should do. All right? Notice the direct connection here. You don't do what we do, so that makes you what? What do we call that nowadays in Baptist churches? We have a name for it. Legalism. Well, I've actually heard of a missionary not getting picked up by a church. It was a great preacher because he didn't button the two buttons on his suit. Had his flap open. Believe you me, there's been weirder things go on in the church. Have you guys ever heard of Navalites? Navalites. And we're not talking about sailors, okay? Navalites. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Sure you know. Did they or didn't they? What is a belly button? It's a scar from our mothers. But did Adam have a mother? Did Eve have a mother? Well, is this something you want to argue of and split the church over? Don't, please don't. There have been stupider people than the batch we have here. Of course they had to have a navel. We're navelites. There's lots of stupid people, okay? Where spirituality and truth get lost in the fog of my opinion counts. Okay? Remember last week I taught you the difference between an erratum or a corrigendum. An erratum is when the maker of a book makes a mistake and they put a paper in to fix it. I had to give you a corrigendum. It's because I made a couple mistakes, right? And I had a mistake about those things. Tell me everything you know about phylacteries. Everything you know. Those leather things, yeah. How many phylacteries are there? One on your left arm and one on your forehead. Okay? How many turns of the leather go on your arm? 7. How many spots, how many compartments are in the one on your head? 4, because there's 4 key verses of Scripture, and they're all in 4 columns on one piece of paper on your arm. Why is it here? It's close to your heart when you're praying, okay? These are the 4 verses that talk about having it close to your heart and as well as a frontlet before your eyes. And they took that literally and developed the phylacteries to implement what God had asked to do. And you'll find that's what the Pharisees do. They were absolute literalists. That God could not use creative language in the slightest because they believed it was absolute the way it was supposed to be. So every morning, a Pharisee would go through the long 7-step process of putting the phylacteries on, praying at each step of the process. And would, as he went into morning prayer, would actually use them as a way to get closer to God. Now, is there anything wrong with having certain things, a certain place, a certain habit of how we go and do our devotions, how we get our head right before we come to church? No. But if we lose the mission and only focus on the method, we're starting to get something loose here, okay? And this is a picture of a modern Hasidic Jew getting ready for prayer. And there's the one on the head, and you can see the one on the arm. They're made out of leather, one continuous piece of leather. But also, we read in Matthew how the Pharisees, to look cool, did what to their phylacteries? What'd they do with the phylacteries, Bob? They made them wider. Remember, it's 7 turns, right? They would make them wider. Obviously, if you have wider phylacteries, you're more Exactly. You know, sister, you'd make a fine Pharisee. Well, you're, I'm sorry, a wife of a Pharisee. You understand, okay? But what else would they make wide? The borders that was required to be on their clothes. Now, lots of people couldn't afford the blue thread, okay? So they would actually put one of these. It would be a blue cord or a fringe, as it's called. And some Bible scholars literally believe that Jesus would have had one of those, not like woven into his clothes and tunic. He would have actually had one of these. And when the lady that had the flow of blood, and she reached out to touch his garment, would have probably touched this. Okay? But they would get these beautiful blue wide borders. Oh, and morning prayer must have been special around with the Pharisees. They got the wide phylacteries. They got the wide blue margins. But even today, there are Israelis, conservative Israelis, in morning prayer will put on the phylacteries, even in the battlefield. Okay? Mm-hmm. After morning prayer. By the way, they're normally given to someone when they go through bar mitzvah. They're a gift from your family to you. Okay? You can go online and buy a set if you'd like. But Jesus speaked again, and he threw the Pharisees under the bus, and then he talked about scribes and who else? And lawyers. How did you become a lawyer? You start out as a scribe, and then you get good enough that you become a lawyer. Lawyers and Pharisees are different. Lawyer is a profession. Pharisee is a faith, a tradition, and to some extent a political party. All right? The lawyers. What did the lawyers steal from everybody? What did they steal? They stole something. Jesus condemned them for stealing something. The key of knowledge. And why would he use that phrase, that turn of phrase, the key of knowledge? What was the one symbol that was indicative of the legal system and the lawyers and the doctors of the law? They carried the key. All right? They carried the key. And they literally stole it. Now, how many of you have ever wondered how some legal decisions come about? That justice somehow got lost somewhere in the shuffle. Okay? And that's the trouble with the law and with lawyers that are created by men. Sometimes justice gets perverted. In this case, the law of God got lost in the traditions of men. And then, after he got throwing them under the bus, what was the response of this beautiful dinner party that we studied last week? What was the response of the dinner party? We got the lawyers upset. We got the scribes bent out of shape. We got the Pharisees that have been chucked under the bus. Ah, the description there, they were lying in wait, all right, meaning to lurk. And it's actually the same word in the Greek if you were plotting an assassination of someone. That's the word you would use. Julius Caesar got lurked, okay? And then there's another, they want to catch him. It's basically to hunt, i.e. figuratively, to carp at. That means to stalk. And then I showed you this picture, which you couldn't see last week. Try to find the guy. He's there. Yeah. You see the bow before you see the person. The whole idea was is that they wanted to hide themselves in the veil of holiness and right. And that's why we want to roast you alive. Now, Have you ever watched a couple people argue? Not being part of it, not being even part of it at all. What do you normally do when you got a couple people arguing? What do you normally do? Brother, what do you do?
Watch the fireworks.
Entertainment is where you find it. Oh, well, yeah, no, you know, it's like a hockey game. You went to a hockey game, and they skated around the ice a little bit after the fight. You know, that's a hockey game. But the point is the chapter 12 starts, chapter 12, 1, in the meantime. Now, many modern homes are built on the concept of a great room format. In ancient times, some people had peristyles, but not most people in the Middle East. A peristyle was a Greek-styled or Roman-style home that had the patio in the center, isolated from everything. Likelihood is the Pharisee would not have that because that wouldn't be a normal home. The patio that they would meet on would be close to the street where guests could see where the party would be and would be able to come. But here's everybody eating, and now this conversation ensues. And now everybody walking by the street starts saying, entertainment. But also, Jesus does what? Chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, where there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people. Innumerable. Clearly, Luke's choice of this word is he did not know, and God does not want us to know, how many exact people. But he uses a Greek word called myrion. We would use the word myriad. If there were a lot of people, you could say there were a myriad of people, but you wouldn't know the exact number. Okay, so there was lots of people that gathered. But who's Jesus talking to? An innumerable number of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. He began to say unto his what? So he, in effect, now has a crowd looking at what's going on. He's got the Pharisees and lawyers and that to behind him, and he turns to talk to who? But he's also talking to the people behind him and the crowd in front of him. You choose words to teach your disciples, but in the same thing, you're bringing in judgment the men behind you. So there's more there. Jesus is getting several messages out at the same time. Let's read on. They trod upon one another. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the what? Leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Leaven and hypocrisy. Let's take a look at those two words. Innumerable, myrias, okay. And he speaks to his disciples. Leaven of the Pharisees. In ancient times, what was leaven? No, you used it in bread, but leaven wasn't bread. You wouldn't want to eat leaven. What was leaven? It was that nasty junk that mama kept in a very sealed place, or in fact, in ancient times, they kept a vat of it next to bakeries, and they would feed it every now and then. It would literally be a moldy culture. How many of you ever had friendship bread? You have friendship bread? Remember, somebody loved you enough to give you this stinky pile of stuff. Right, sister? You know, you're shaking, yeah, ooh. And you had to feed it a little bit, didn't you? You had to put some more in. That's food for the yeast that's inside there. And that starter, that yeast is the leaven. Now, what does leaven do? A matter of fact, it makes things fluffy. It just so happens, most of you, if you have a bread machine or something, you put a little bit of yeast and you think this is yeast. Well, the yeast is actually inside this stuff, and when the water hits it, it activates it. But the Romans were the first one to figure out how you could make yeast and have it around all the time. You know what it was? And not smell bad. You put in beer. Their beer was not pasteurized like the beer in our bottles today, which they kill off all the yeast. Okay? It was live yeast in the beer. Not the beer batter people make today, which is for flavor. But the point is the yeast would interact with the bread, start digesting the sugars. And what happens when the yeast acts with the sugars in the bread? It gives off CO2 gas. And there's another thing, alcohol. It's exactly how beer is made. It's exactly how wine is made. Okay? The trouble is when you bake it, where does all the alcohol go? Okay? But you get this nice, fluffy white bread. Now, if I haven't had a piece of bread like this in 2 months, so this lesson was very difficult for me to get past fluffy white bread. But what's also important is if you leave it go a little longer, you end up with this stuff. What's that? San Francisco's famous for it. Oh, so is Seattle. If you leave it, chew on it a little longer, you get sourdough bread. It actually changes the flavor. By the way, if any of you study this diet Mrs. Warner is on, there is a kind of bread you can eat, and it's sourdough bread. Because the yeast work on it and change the chemistry of the sugars in the bread. So it's much easier on people who are diabetic and poor suckers like me who are on a diet. Okay? But the fact is that the poor Roman people needed leaven to make the hard, nasty grains they had to eat more palatable and the nutrients more available for them to use. But Jesus said, described exactly what leaven was. The leaven of the Pharisees was what? What is hypocrisy? New. That's lying. Hypocrisy is inside. Now, how many of you have ever been in the performing arts? Like a play? How many little kids like doing plays? Let's do a play. Yeah. We like to do a play. Come on out and watch us do a play. Right? But they like doing what? Make-believe. They're faking it. They're feigning a part. They're being somewhat deceitful. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisies. Okay? This word would be used also to describe a Greek actor. Okay? The Greek actor would normally in Greek theater, sorry ladies, you don't have a job there either. Okay? Even the ladies would be guys, and they would wear a mask. All right? So if I had more than one mask, I would be a what? I would be a hypocrite. That's something that's a very important key. Are you the same here as you are at work, as you are at home, as you are alone? Is the language you use here the same you use at work, the same you use at home, and the same that you ponder in your mind alone? Sadly, at times I'm a hypocrite. I use language in my mind, and sometimes when I hit my finger with a hammer, and sometimes when somebody frustrates me to the point of there's only two things I can do. I either have to verbalize it or get physical. But the point is the Pharisees lived in a universe of masks. They literally, just like, these are all ancient Greek masks, look at them. Are these any people you really want to hang around with? If anybody came to your house and had these on, you'd say, bye, go away. The truth of the matter is, I bet you've had people at your home that were wearing a mask and you kind of knew it. Didn't you? A word in a modern language we would use for a hypocrite would be counterfeit. A counterfeit. Now, what's this? By the way, that is a true and honest, real $100 bill picture. They had to mark the specimen on it to keep people from cutting it out, printing it out, and selling and actually spending it. But in your lifetime, how has the money changed? It's changed tons in my lifetime. In fact, for almost 100 years before, it changed, except for colors of inks on silver certificates, gold certificates, and such. It changed none at all. But why did they change the money? Exactly. How do you tell the difference between a counterfeit dollar and a real dollar? What? Intimate with what the real ones look like. In fact, that's exactly what the Secret Service and the Treasury Department does. They teach people what a real one looks like. And the key, the difference between fake ones and real ones, are infinitesimally small. Let's start with the paper of a dollar. Does the dollars in America have wood in it? No, it is only cotton, because there's no starch in cotton. Any of you ever see the little pen the ladies use? To mark it, to see if it's real? That's a starch test. So if it was wood paper, there would be a black mark across it. If you look really close, you know what also you find in that fine linen and cotton paper? Little red and blue fibers. Down infinitesimally small. That paper exists only in one place, only made in one factory. But it could almost be fake, but not quite. There's all sorts of little yellow marks throughout the whole thing. You have this hologram tape that sticks on the outside. If you put it over a UV light, it glows. All right? This is color-changing inks, and the sizes are different. This dollar is the most counterfeited dollar on the planet, the counterfeited paper. Okay? England and Canada in Australia have moved from paper to a special polymer material. So if you go to Canada and get plastic dollars, they're not trying to fake you out because they're more. But all the fine detail on a dollar is just like you. How do you know if a person's not a fake? What? Yeah, you spend time with them. And it's in the littlest of things, isn't it? Just like on the dollar bill. Little itty-bitty things. Like when they hit their finger on a hammer. You're smiling back there. Or you get a flat tire. Or you have a bad day. Or you get a bad diagnosis. Or all of a sudden your business fails. Reality. If anything I can get you out of all of chapter 12 is how real is your Christianity? Is it down to the little fibers? Is it down to those little marks on your character? How you think of others? And just as important, how you think about yourself. God cared enough to die for you. Don't follow Satan's lies telling you that you're not worth very much. Let's take a look at a couple of verses. I'd like you to turn back to Psalms 51. Psalms chapter 51. This is sometimes called David's Psalm of Repentance. But there's an important little section in here. If any man knows how much a child of God can go off the rails, He also knows the depth of how much God can forgive. But the key here, Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the what? Inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know where? Okay. How's your inward parts? That's the challenge. How do you know what you're doing on the inside? Do you understand what God's purpose for you is? Are you trying to follow what He's leading? Are you going where He wants you to go? Are you being forgiving enough? You got somebody at work that's treating you bad? Are you giving in them the same or something better? The Pharisees got lost in the woods of trying to do all the right things, but not being the right person. God cares more about you than what you do. Because what you are controls what you do. Okay? Let's take a look how Paul put it. The Lord led Paul. Let's go back to Second Corinthians. We want to get back to Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians was Paul's third time with communicating with the church at Corinth, as it starts out in chapter 13. This is the third time coming unto you. Verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be what? Reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not what? How can you tell if somebody's a fake? Simply watch them. We're fruit inspectors. Look at the fruit. See what they are. Look at them under hideous situations, good situations, mountaintops and valleys. And eventually we get a pretty good perspective on a person, don't we? Who knows us best of all? God. Who next? And who next? Normally our kids. They see how real we are or not. They know our warts and our strengths. I see some smiles going on back over here. I got my daughters in the room. But you know, don't you? You know your parents. You know who they are and who they are not. And certainly they know our perfections and imperfections. But the Pharisees, they loved living in their hypocrisy. Chapter 12, verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Can you imagine if a Pharisee heard that? What would be going through their mind? Since they live Hippocratic reality, what do you think they spoke of when they were in closets and in the dark? What would they talk about? Well, you know, we'll promote you to this position if you give this much money. The importance of loving God enough for His goodness to you to give back to Him was lost on the Pharisees. Every bit of donation had something to do with avarice, position. I actually ran the United Way campaign on the Hanford site one year. And sadly, it really poisoned me about corporate giving. It's great that some corporations help match donations and stuff. But the purpose had little to do with good and everything to do with position and looking good. Okay? Let's read on. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. I can literally think when he's talking to disciples, there's some people in the back had their little secret deals. What does he know? Okay. What you ever spoken in darkness will be heard in the light, and that which is spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. We all have that portion of our life, whether it's a thought life, whether it's even actions that we hope no one ever learns, that God has forgiven us of. The Pharisees had none of that. They lived that life every minute of every day. There were a few, and we see them in the scriptures, that drew, and they were really searching for the truth. They were looking for the Messiah, and they saw him in Christ. But the most, they did not. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Who's he talking to now? His disciples. Who are the men behind him? The very ones who will be doing the killing. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear who? Fear him. Now, you can imagine the Pharisees had all sorts of secret deals. They spoke in darkness. They spoken in a closet. But whom shall you really fear? The Sadducees, did they believe in eternal life? The Sadducees? No, not at all. The Sadducees didn't at all. Not a whit. When it's over, it's over. The Pharisees believed in eternal life, but didn't live with that in mind. You can imagine, remember how Jesus did the publican and the Pharisee? How did the Pharisee pray? Oh, thank God I'm not like this loser over here. I'm so good. I always give. I'm always so good. I do my prayers 3 times a day. If you ever want to know, have a real desire for the lost, just think of hell. Just look at the person and imagine their future. It's pretty simple. Then Jesus talks about something that is one of the greatest promises of all. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, how many of you like little sparrows? One of the indications, they're around even in the winter sometimes. But where do sparrows live? Doop. Well, that's first. Sparrows, right? And a farthing. Now, the word there in the Greek is a serion or an as. An as is a 16th of a denarii. Okay? It's a 16th. So you can buy how many sparrows for 2 farthings? 2 ases? 5. Okay? They're a little small bird, not very good to eat. Okay? But if you're hungry, they're edible. All right? All right? Sparrows. This is where they used to be. How in the world did they end up here, here, and here? Us. We grabbed them, put them aboard boats. People liked eating them, but more than that, they liked them because they're just friendly. You can feed them. And how many of them does God not know about? not a 1. Now me, since it's a continuously varying number, the next verse is very important. But even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are worth more than how many? Many sparrows. Next time you see one of those little critters bouncing around, picking at your grass, I want you to think of something. I want you to think of every other one on the whole planet and know God knows where every one of them is. And God thinks more of you than them. To truly follow what God wants us to do, we have to understand that we're worth something to Him. Oh, by the way, this is in the Northeast, down in the deserts, in the cactus. They live there. And this is in New Zealand, okay? The same little sparrows, all right? They're called house sparrows. Verse 8, "But I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." Once a person accepts Christ as Savior, what's the next step? Baptism. It's a public declaration. But I'm going to ask, once you get older like us mature people, and you change a job site, how many people know you're a Christian? Now, you don't have to be upfront with that. You don't have to be sticking it under people's noses all the time. But when the question arises, you either have one or two choices to make, right? Yes, I am. Or I can be silent. Or I can go the other way. Now, I have been blessed enough to have many other Christians work around me. Even aboard my submarine, there was just me. But even there, God was with me. I had an inner, they would always come up with these weird statements and try to test me. Here's a question. Did Adam and Eve have any clothes on? Okay, you're enough Bible scholar to ask that question. But the guy who asked me that didn't know that God had made clothes for them. Okay? And knew they made those lousy fig leaves that didn't quite get it done either. The point was, is he asked that to try to test me with the declaration that we all shouldn't be wearing clothes. Here, you're on a submarine, packed in like sardine cans, and now this guy's doing this little jabbing thing at you. Literally, the other guys in the lunch line where this happened turned on him. If you want to see God work in your life, all you have to do is be willing to see it. It wasn't I was a great testimony, because in many ways I was not. But if you want to see God work in your life, strive in the inward part. God will show you on the outward part. Strive to the inside. Find those little closets. You open the door and says, God, let's clean up this closet today. That section of my life, let's move this off to the side. This is something I don't need this baggage anymore. Remember that weight that does so what? Easily beset us. We don't need that anymore. And if you've never accepted Christ, there are people sitting in churches all over America that know this much about the true gospel. Sadly, there are some of those churches, just like the lawyers, who are doing what? They're stealing the key of knowledge and putting in its place form and ceremony. And this is the one I'd like to end with. Some people are so poor, all they have is what? That's the setup for when I come back after vacation and we're going to be talking about the rich man. Okay? The rich fool. But how much is that true? Some people are so poor, all they have is money. How many people in your lifetime have committed suicide with tons of cash? Robin Williams? Rock stars galore? Politicians? The list is endless. Strive to be true on the inside. Everything else will take care of itself. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be in your word this morning. Lord, like David, he pled with you to change the inside, to teach him wisdom. Lord, take your word and just change us anew, that we would have your image formed in us and that the world would see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.